I want to thank everyone for coming this morning. Certainly the week before Purim and the week before Pesach is a time that everyone's busy. If they're not busy, they're usually in some form of trouble from home. So certainly the Mesiras Nefesh of coming in and learning for the morning, you know, speaks beautifully about our community and beautifully about our yeshiva. There's a beautiful piece by the Shari Ora. The Shari Ora was written by Rav Meir Bergman, and he discusses that at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, when it discusses the marriage between Amram and Yocheved, so the Torah could have used their names. The Torah could have said who the people were, but instead it says that a person from the home of Levi married a Bas Levi. So why should that be the case? So what Meir Bergman said very beautifully is that we shouldn't feel for a moment that Moshe Rabbeinu became Moshe Rabbeinu because of his yichus. Certainly yichus is significant. A person who comes from the home of an Amram and Yocheved certainly has a leg up in their personal development. But it's really because of the work and the development of the character, the shleimos of Moshe Rabbeinu that he himself attained by himself. That was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what's fascinating, certainly to me, and I believe to all of us, is thousands of years later to be able to assess the development of the personality of the Avos. To see Yosef's beginning as the Nar in his father's home, to the essential leader of the world, to see the development of the people and the psychological insights that are gleaned from that. Certainly those messages are as alive today for us as that's ever been in the last thousands of years. I want to begin with a question that many people pose, people who have Maor Mekomos. I apologize for the lack of them. I cannot get them into Rabban time, so I made them myself and underestimated the number of people we have. So Torah tells us, "Vatata tzavez b'nei Yisrael, v'yichu eilecha shemen zayizoch kosis l'mo'or l'halos ner tamid." So we're told that you, Moshe, so that you are in charge, you are supposed to command the people to bring in the shemen, to bring in the oil. And as a side note, one can ask, as many of the Rishonim do, why specifically Moshe Rabbeinu? Why was this his job? V'atotitzaveh. You are commanded. In fact, some of the Acharonim, they say that it seems to even be two commands in one. V'atotitzaveh. The grammar and theory does not make sense. So many people give explanations why Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of this mitzvah of the bringing and the collecting of the shemen for the menorah, and part of the response touches on and deals with why in this case, as opposed to the rest of the building of the Mishkan, it says, v'yikhu eilecha, you should take for yourself, as opposed to by the building of the Mishkan, it says that you should take for me, Hashem. And the Midrashim offer that the idea of the Ner Tamid and the Ner for the menorah was really the symbol of the mitzvos that we present in front of God, and the light that illuminates our life through performance of mitzvos. And therefore, that needed to be something that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was personally involved in the facilitation of the bringing of the oil to the menorah. But as everyone knows, and perhaps then the contrast to the word v'atah, used three times at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, is interesting. The Moshe Rabbeinu's name is never mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. And if I were to ask anybody here, why is that the case? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name not mentioned in this parsha? Well, anybody have a thought? What's the reason Moshe Rabbeinu had part of his name taken out of part of the Torah? Exactly, because we know in Parshas Kisisa, so Moshe Rabbeinu says that if you don't grant forgiveness to the nations, so erase my name from your book, from the Torah. And even though forgiveness, of course, was granted, so the Rishonim say that part of that klala, part of that statement came true, and hence Moshe Rabbeinu's name was eviscerated from the record book, for part of the Torah. Now the question that, of course, everyone should think, so why dafka Parshas Tetzaveh? Right, what was the Parshas Tetzaveh then that there's a necessity in that parsha specifically? It could have been any parsha. And maybe, as some people point out, it's a sensitivity to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was not the Kohen Gadol, and therefore Tetzaveh that discusses the Begadim, therefore his name was taken out there. But there may be other explanations as well, which I want to develop or want to mention as this year goes on. How are we first introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu? And as usual, the Torah doesn't give us a tremendous amount of information. We have to almost glean the personality based on sometimes the skimpy details or words that are used in the Torah. Of course, our first introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu as an adult is the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu vayigdal. He ages, he goes out, vayar b'siblosam, the action taken against the Mitzri, the action taken in Midian against those people that were persecuting the daughters of Yisroel. Our first glimpse of Moshe Rabbeinu is a person that you could say is vayetze, a person who's taking initiative, a person that's taking matters into his own hand. But very soon after that point, so a different image of Moshe Rabbeinu emerges. The image not of the outspoken personality, not of a person that's running to take initiative, but specifically the person who's a roeh, the person who's a shepherd. And the Torah tells us, of course, Moshe haya roeh atzon Yisro chosno, kohen midyon vayinhag esatzon achar hamidbar. This shows you the midos of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he took them far away, as Rashi points out, I have here in Mar Makom number 4, to remove any chashash of gezelam, to make sure he stay far away from anybody's lands. But the image of the roeh is significant in other ways as well. There's a beautiful pshat brought down by the Sfas Emes, a pshat that certainly resonates with me, and I'm sure anybody here who has a cell phone, etc., on their belt or pocket as we speak, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to pick a profession that he could have time to think, a certain solitude, a certain thoughtfulness, a certain isolation from the world. So he picked the job of a roeh. I was reminded when I saw this pshat of the Sfas Emes, that for those of you who either went to Shalavim, I imagine Rav Yamar was not there if you were in Shalavim then, the children who went to Shalavim, so they had exposure to Rav Yamar, who's an incredible, incredible individual, who was a Ram in Shalavim for boys, and then for Shalavim for girls at some point. So Rav Yamar is like a Ruchani person through and through. So a friend of mine who was in Shalavim about 20 years ago mentioned to Rav Yamar that in his home, he came from a wealthy family, they had a shower radio. And Rav Yamar heard about the shower radio, he said, even in the shower? He said, a person can't have a moment of reflection, they've taken away even the shower time for a person. So that's the pshat Sfas Emes, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to be driving down, I live in Muncie, so the Palisades, wherever it is, you know, checking every 2 to 3 minutes the BlackBerry, what emergency state of the nation now is in danger, that needs to be texting on the highway. So that was the Sfas Emes' pshat. But the Medrash gives a different pshat, and one which perhaps is very well known to us. It's a Medrash number 5. And in the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the person that I seek out to be a leader, whether it be David HaMelech, whether it be Moshe Rabbeinu, is a person who is a roeh, a person who is a shepherd. Because a person who is a shepherd is a person that has compassion, that leads the flock. And the Medrash just points out, and I'll read a few lines on the bottom of the Medrash number 5. So, Amu Rabbeinu, Kishahaya Moshe Rabbeinu Roet Sono Shal Yisro B'Midbar, So Baruch Mimenu Gdi, V'Ratz Acharav Achehigia Lachasis, Kevin Shigil Achostis Nizdamna Lobre Choshamayim Vi Omar Hagidi Lishtos. So the Gdi stood and stopped to drink. So Kevin Shigi Moshe Tzlo Omar Ani Loha Yisi Odeya Shiratza Yisa Mipanai, right? Some Ayefata. Must be that you are thirsty and that you're exhausted. So here Kivu Al Ksefo Bahai Mahalek. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Roe, took the Gdi, placed the Gdi on his shoulders, and he went back to join the flock. So Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Yesh Lecha Rachamim Linhog Tzono Shabbatu V'dam, Kachayecha Atatiret Tzoni Yisrael. This is the type of shepherd you are, so then I want you to be my shepherd. The truth is, the image of the shepherd is a person of compassion. But it's also a person who is comfortable in a role of shiftless. That he's comfortable in the role that he's in charge of someone else's sheep, someone else's goats. He's not necessarily looking for limelight. There is an element of quietude, of privacy to the action. And to some degree that's connoted as well in the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu, not as a public figure, but Moshe Rabbeinu as a shofel, concerned about the needs of his sheep. And immediately after, the Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu as a roeh. So the very next pasuk, as we see in Ma'amakum number 6, Vayir Malach Hashem Alav Belabas Eish Mitoch Hasnei Vayar V'hinei Hasnei Bor Ba'eish Hasnei Ninu Chal. The very next pasuk contrasts Moshe Rabbeinu as the Roeh with the revelation to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Snei. The Rishonim and Midrashim, needless to say, have a field day understanding. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in all things, in a lowly bush? If a person thinks about the grand entrance they want to make onto any stage, if a person thinks about the most dramatic way of conveying your message to another, it was never my style, but for those who, you know, got engaged years ago at the showing of Beauty and the Beast, at least a big write-up in the New York Times, like the star of your life, or this gigantic, dramatic presentation where the whole, that's the way you start your marriage, in dramatic form. You want to reveal yourself to another person in a dramatic form. So Lahavdil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in his neh, in the lowest of objects. It could have been, says the Medrash, from the Arzi HaLevano, and it could have been in a different form. So there are many Midrashim that discuss what's the imagery of this neh. But the Medrash that I copied, number 7, in Mechilta Rabbi Shimon Yochai, the Mechilta, so it says that the sneh illustrated the shiftless of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down and minimizing himself almost, being memayed himself into the lowest of objects, into the bush. What the Nefesh HaChaim says, or Chaim Velazhin, is that the message of leadership communicated to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the type of leadership, the epitome of leadership communicated through HaKadosh Baruch Hu shiftless into the sneh, was the image of leadership of the shofel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was memayed himself in a derech of shiftless to convey and connote that same modest, that same element of being memayed to oneself in Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership as he would then go down to Mitzrayim. That's an element that we see throughout the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. And please allow me for a few moments. I have to leave a little early. Unfortunately, it was a death to attend to. It's a quality that one sees in many places throughout the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. This element of shiftless. I just want to mention a few of them very briefly. In Ma'amakum number 8, it says, Vayomer Moshe El Ha'elokim, Mi anochi ki eilech el paro v'chi otzi es b'nei Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. Who am I that I will go down to Mitzrayim? I will be the Redeemer. Vayomer ki eyei moch, Hashem says, I will be with you. V'zel l'cho ha'os ki anochi shlachticha. This will be the sign that I sent you. B'hotziocho so'om mi-Mitzrayim tavdun es alokim al har hazeh. So Rashi says, what's the sign that I sent you? Very simply, right? That is the bush. when you come down to the nation and the nation knows of the burning bush, that will be the oaths. That will be the sign. And in the same way that the sneh burns, but is never totally encapsulated, never totally becomes uchal, never becomes destroyed, so to you as you go down to Mitzrayim, the sneh is the oaths that I have sent you. It's a very beautiful Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma, if a person has time, is always worth, it's always worth taking a look at. It's a very unique style and tremendous wealth of insight. The Meshech Chachma, of course, of Meir Simcha Meidevinsk, who lived roughly 130 years ago. So the Meshech Chachma has a different shot. What's Zeh Yelcha Ha'os? What exactly is the sign that I sent you? Your questioning of why am I sent, your anivus itself will be the sign to the nation that I sent you. A person who's a true anav, says the Meshech Chachma, is a person that totally is kofa himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person that truly seeks just to integrate the will of God into their life. So your anivus will be a sign to the nation that you are the person chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The anivus itself, says the Meshech Chachma, was the reason for the leadership and the ultimate strength Moshe Rabbeinu and the confidence Moshe Rabbeinu was given, was that that anivus would be recognized by Bnei Yisrael. The anivus itself was the sign of leadership. Meshech Chachma says that's pshat in the famous Sifra, when it says Moshe, Moshe, that the same Moshe that was there before the revelation at the Sneh was the same Moshe after the revelation. For many of us, we're humble until we receive our first big payday, but for Moshe Rabbeinu, that was not the case. The modesty continued because there was a total allegiance, aligning of his will to God's will. Therefore, that's what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu, says Meshech Chachma, was the same before the revelation as after the revelation. There's a beautiful pshat by the Kedushas Levi, of course, something that's not pashup pshat in the Mishnah, but certainly something with a chassidish atam. Rav Levi Yitzchak Mevorditchev, so he asked in the Mishnah, quoted in number 11, Moshe kibal Torah me Sinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. If any of our children would write that sentence in a paper, so we would get a big red mark over the line. You don't receive something from a mountain, right? Any English teacher would have the sense to correct the grammar of that Mishnah. But yet we say here, the Moshe Kibbo Torah Misinai, it's something that all of the Mefarshim addressed, Maharal, and the Derech Chaim, and others as well. So Rav Levi Yitzchak says the following, that we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was challenged or was asked to go down to Har Sinai, so Moshe Rabbeinu's response was, who am I? Why me? Why am I chosen? But when it came time to receive the Torah, there was no protestation. There was no rejection of that. So maybe you could say that Moshe Rabbeinu was more comfortable in receiving the Torah because he was already used to the role of leadership. I remember the first time I became a rabbi of a community, I was the rabbi in the Albert Einstein School of Medicine. I started there about 8-9 years ago. So it was my first shteller. So when I walked in and they pointed, they said, that's your seat in the front, you know, like the rabbi's chair. And this was an Einstein, it wasn't some fancy chair, but it was like the rabbi's chair. It was like, I almost like shook having to sit down in that. But okay, but after a week, so already you're comfortable, you know, sitting in that chair. Hopefully rabbis don't get too comfortable in that chair. Not that they should lose their jobs, but as far as a sense of having a healthy respect for the audience, the balabatim. So maybe that's true as well, that by the time it came time to Moshe Rabbeinu to receive the Torah, so therefore he was used to the mantle of leadership. He was used to the fact that perhaps he was roy for such a thing. But Levi Yitzchak says not that way. He says, Moshe kibbo Torah, what allowed Moshe to receive the Torah is Meisinai. From the very fact, as the Gemara says in Sota, that Sinai was chosen as the mountain that the Torah was given on, Sinai, the most shofel of all of the Harim. So Moshe says, if the Torah is being given on the lowest mountain, in a way that illustrates shiflus, then I feel comfortable being the person to receive the Torah. So Moshe Kibbutz Torah, that which allowed Moshe to receive the Torah psychologically, may Sinai, from the actual presence, physical presence of what Sinai represented. So Moshe Rabbeinu allowed himself to be chosen to receive the Torah. There's a very beautiful Or Chaim HaKadosh based on the Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni that appears at the end of next week's parasha, this week's parasha Kisisa, and that can be found in Marmakom number 13, a Medrash that I'm sure many people here are familiar with. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, so of course he had, his face was radiating. So we don't believe as a nation that all of a sudden a person's face can just begin to radiate. So the Medrash asks, where did that radiation, where did that radiance come from? So the Medrash gives three different pshatim. So one pshat the Medrash gives is that came from Bima'ara, in the cave. It was like the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that had infused his body. There's another pshat in the Medrash, you can read for yourself, that the Luchos itself sort of became integrated onto Moshe Rabbeinu's face. And the third pshat was a language that is beautiful for its poetic nature. It says, I'll read the underlined section, Rabbi Yehuda bar Nachman Amar Kishimoshe Kotzav Satorah, so Nishtayer Bekumos Kima. So there was some ink left in the pen that he wrote the Torah with. Vehevira Rosho Misham Nasulo Karnehod. That became the Karnehod. The ink, the Kumos Shebekima, was the radiance of Moshe Rabbeinu's face. I once thought to say in a manner of drush that the image to me of Moshe Rabbeinu of the ink left in the pen was really the reservoir of strength that Moshe Rabbeinu exhibited through his life. Right? The challenges of leadership, the challenges of dealing with the Chet Ha'egel, etc. It was like that, the reservoir of strength, which was the Kimma Shebekum, the Kumma Shebekimma, that radiated on his face. But the Or Chaim HaKadosh says not the way. The Or Chaim HaKadosh says that when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, and Parshas Balotzcha says that Anav Mikol Adam, so of course we know that he wrote the word Anav in an incomplete fashion, he left the Yod out, that was the ink left on the bottom of the pen. And it's that which radiated on his face as the Or Chaim HaKadosh when he came down. It was his modesty that which defined him, that which radiated. It was that modesty that was highlighted. This last idea I want to bring out as well in regards to the same basic nature of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, we know that the end of Sefer Shmos, which really again is the story of the development of the nation, but the same breath of development of Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader of the nation. So the Torah tells us, Vayichas ha'anon es ha'oel moed, this is Marmok number 16, Uchvod Hashem malei es ha'mishkan, the radiance, the glory of God filled the Mishkan, V'lo yocho Moshe lovo elo moed, kishochan olav ha'anon, Uchvod Hashem malei es ha'mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter. So Rashi says, let's turn to the next page of Marmokomos, that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu could not enter, the reason he was refused entry, was because, very simply, that at the moment that the Shekhinah was in the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu could not enter into the Mishkan. Well, that's a very nice shot, and it makes sense, certainly. But I always had a question on this Rashi, and I'll throw this out to you. Anybody have a question based perhaps on a different Gemara and Shas? On this idea of Rashi. The Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter because the Shekhinah was filled up the space of the Mishkan. So there's the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Yuma, if I'm not mistaken, it's on the bottom of the Alamed Aleph, that says that discussing the Kohen and the 7 days of preparation beforehand, that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai in preparation for receiving the Torah. And according to one opinion in the Gemara, so Moshe Rabbeinu was ensconced by the Shekhinah standing on Har Sinai. The Moshe Rabbeinu was there, inside the Shekhinah, in preparation for receiving the Torah. Now, if that's true, so then what's Pshat and Rashi? Why does it have to be that Moshe Rabbeinu, while in the Mishkan, also that there was some form of contradiction of Moshe Rabbeinu not having that same intense exposure to the Shekhinah Hashem? So I wanted to offer, by the way, people have a chance, there's a very beautiful piece by Rav Nevensal. People are familiar with Rav Nevensal's works in general know that it's not something you pick up, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning before you go to sleep. The pieces are serious and they're long, but very, very worthwhile. So Nevensal has a beautiful piece where he gives a different approach to understanding this Rashi. What I thought to say was perhaps a pshat based on a very famous Gemara Menachos. But we know the Gemara Menachos says, and it's more that all of us are familiar with, it's in Marmakon number 18, that Moshe Rabbeinu asked to be brought down to this world to see the Rabbi Akiva in action. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu hears about the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him down. He says, sit in the eighth row of the Beit Medrash. And this, of course, is the imagery of the Gemara, something that obviously, you know, excites people who are who discuss these issues. There's an article written, if people are interested, in an old periodical called Jewish Thought, which is no longer put out. It's been put out by some of the Rebbeim and Yeshivat Or Yishalayim. So there's an article written about 20 years ago by Chaim Eisen, a very long article discussing the relationship between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. And when Moshe Rabbeinu heard the discussion of the Gemara, it was like a foreign language to him. And it says that the Shash Kocho, he became like weakened. He became almost like depressed by hearing the back and forth, the give and take of the Gemara. He felt like he was like out of the loop. It's an amazing image. Moshe Rabbeinu's feeling of almost depression, of weakness, when he saw the Talmudic debate, which was experienced with Rabbi Akiva and his students. The Gemara continues, and if you look at my Malkum number 18, about a few lines down, or four lines down, so Kevin Shehigia L'Davar Echad, so Amulo Tamid of Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, Minayin Lucha, where do you get this from? So Amr Lohan Halach L'Mosh Misinai, this is Halach L'Mosh Misinai, so the Gemara says Nishiyash V'Daiso. He became like a Saj, he became like a piece. All of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu, he felt like, okay, like they mentioned my name, like now, you know, now I feel like better. It's such a fascinating Gemara, this dynamic between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. So I just thought Pshat was in that Gemara, and perhaps as well to understand the end of Parshas Pekudei, the end of the building of the Mishkan, is that Moshe Rabbeinu recognized for himself that he was not necessarily the centerpiece of the Mesorah, of the destiny of the Jewish people. It wasn't necessarily about him and about his teaching, but Moshe Rabbeinu at least wanted to feel as though he was a facilitator, that he at least perhaps built the building blocks to allow the process of the Mesorah to take place. But it wasn't necessarily about him having to be the person that was the centerpiece of the Mesorah, but a facilitator of the Mesorah. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have been in the Mishkan at the moment of the Hashra'as HaShchina, at the moment of the Yerida of the Anani Kavod, then there would be an association of Moshe Rabbeinu with the Mishkan Ladoros. That the Shechina was related to the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Kabbalah HaTorah and the Mishkan was related specifically because of the leadership and the omnipresent leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps recognized himself that when the very consecration and the very erection of the Mishkan, at that moment, I need to be outside of the Mishkan. As a statement that we, myself, are simply building blocks, but that the Shekhinah Hashem is unrelated and the Kedushas HaTorah is unrelated to the person that helped facilitate that process. Rav Chaim Volozhin says beautifully, that truly was the greatness of the of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I encourage people, as most people have a Nefesh HaChaim at home, to look at the entirety of this piece. That Moshe Rabbeinu, even more so than Avram, the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved the leadership of Bnei Yisrael, because when the leaders of Bnei Israel were met with their destiny as leaders, they responded with a statement of modesty. Anochi Ofar V'Efer, I'm nobody. And by Moshe and Aaron, the statement was Nachnu Ma. That's the Gemara Chulin, which I photocopied. And Rav Chaim Volozhin says that the statement of Nachnu Ma, we're nothing, is even a greater statement of shiflus than the statement of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That for in order for Moshe Rabbeinu to truly be the Eved Hashem, that means a subjugation of his own personality to fulfill the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to say that as a shaliach, I am simply an expression of the will of God. And that was the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu, to allow himself to be that type of shaliach, but not necessarily his own personality, a subjugation of his own initiative so that he could be the shaliach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So while it may be that our first introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu was the initiative of Moshe Rabbeinu, so subsequently he took on the personality of the leader where it was not about him, but it was really almost a subjugation, a rejection of his own persona to allow him to be a vehicle and a vessel for the Dvar Hashem. Now that being said, and I want to conclude in a few minutes with this thought, there is an unbelievable dynamic that transpires at Kriyas Yamsuf. You know, if a person thinks for a moment about the setting of the stage at Kriyas Yamsuf, and perhaps take a look in the last few psukim, the last few marmkomos, Vayomer Moshe Am, Al Tira'u, Hisyatzvu, or U, as Yeshuas Hashem, Asher Yasa, Lochem Hayom, Ki Asher Re'item, Es Mitzrayim Hayom, Lo So Sifu, Lero Sam Od Adolam. Sit back and watch the glory of Hashem. Hashem Yilochem. Hashem will fight for you. Hashem will take over. V'atem tacharishun. You will stand back silenced. You're silent. V'yomer Hashem Moshe, ma titzak elai. It's the very next pasuk. Why are you crying to me? Daber b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael. Speak to the nation and travel forward. There's obviously something missing from the pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the nation, stand back, you'll watch Yeshuas Hashem. The next pasuk tells us that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you crying to me? Move forward. So Rashi says, of course, Rashi, we all know, that at the moment that Moshe Rabbeinu was omeid mispolel, Moshe Rabbeinu davened. So Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo eis ato, this is not the time l'ha'arich b'tfila she Yisrael nisuna mitzara. This is not the time to daven. I always had a problem with this Rashi. Anybody have a challenge on this Rashi based on other marmakomos that we showed him? But we know the Ramban tells us, and it's the Ramban that if you wanted to cheat, it was the next marmakom over here. The Ramban said is that even though the time for the redemption from Egypt had already come, even though it was destined that Bnei Yisrael shall leave Mitzrayim, so that could only happen once there was the Nakasam, there was the Tzakasam, there was the crying, there was the beseeching, there was the Tefillah of Bnei Yisrael. And the Ramban says that even though they were Ro'i L'Higo'el, that those events were only sent process with Nehatzaka, Kibal Tefillosam B'Rachamav. So when Bnei Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, so the order of the day was tefillah, and the geula only happened because of tefillah. But now standing at Yam Suf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now is not the time to daven, but now is the time to move forward, to galvanize the nation. So what's the difference? What's the distinction that tefillah was that which conquered the day of Mitzrayim, but now tefillah was on the back burner? So what I thought to say, and please allow me another couple minutes, was to understand the nature of Am Yisrael at the moment of Kriyas Yamsuf. And I don't have to be mechadesh to anybody what the state of the nation was at that moment. We know at the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, so we're told that they had to go the long way because they were not ready to fight the battles, as the Rashbam and the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim and others as well, that they couldn't go straight in because they didn't have the fortitude, they didn't have the psychological strength to fight those battles. There's probably the most famous, or one of the two most famous, Pshatim of the Ibn Ezra in all of the Torah, where the Ibn Ezra says, after seeing all the Yeshuos Hashem, something that I photocopied, number 21, after seeing the miracles, after seeing the Yad Hashem, standing at the Yam Suf, the nation was still terrified, the nation still didn't have the confidence to fight against the Mitzrim. So of course Ibn Ezra said famously that this was a nation of slaves, and a slave can never fight their master. We know the pshat of the Sefer Chinuch about some of the laws of the Karban Pesach is to rid ourselves and to negate from ourselves the instincts of slavery. I always thought to say perhaps, and one could certainly argue, that the real chait by the Meraglim, of course we know the Rashi and the Ramban, they argue what was the chait? Efes, what was the word exactly? What was the chait of the nation by the Meraglim? That perhaps it wasn't so much there was a chait, but there was a recognition that this nation could never forsake its roots of slavery, that didn't have the temerity, didn't have the strength to march into Eretz Yisrael and to fight the Canaanim. So the chait of the Meraglim was not so much the chait per se, but it was a revelation of the nature of the nation. At that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, standing at the Yam Suf, that this is not the moment to revert to your personality of leadership, of shiftless, of tefillah. But at this moment, the nation needed to psychologically leave its roots of avdus behind. And instead, the statement is that Barab Bnei Yisrael v'yisa'u. You take the initiative. You move forward. This is not a moment where one resorts to shiftless and to anivus, but this is a moment in leadership as well where one squelches, one negates perhaps what one's natural tendency would be. And instead of the natural tendency of shiftless, now is the moment for v'yisa'u. Now is the moment for action. And from that point forward, so while it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu led the nation, Betoras Anivus, so there were moments as well where Moshe Rabbeinu forced the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pichesmet Aleph, says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself made a decision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with to throw down the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu recognized for himself the complexity of leadership, that perhaps while one's natural instinct, the dominant theme, his personality, was shiftless, in order to have a completion, a fullness of leadership, there were moments of moving forward. There was a moment of one taking the situation, taking the bull by the horns as well. What I always found to be fascinating about this image of Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly something which is a struggle for myself, I'm sure for many people in Avodas Hashem, and in life in general, that we all have a certain netiya, and we often filter our service of God through that netiya. A person who is naturally overflowing with love and simcha, so finds that a day such as Purim or other times, it's a natural expression of his personality. And what's demanded of a person is sometimes the negation of those natural tendencies, and to make sure that a person is balanced with yira, with fear, with a diktuk and halacha. A person whose natural tendencies is to be perhaps coldly cerebral is told that the whole essence of a day of Purim is that of reyus, of an overflow of love, an overflow of connection between people. That while our natural tendencies are celebrated, are elevated, are acknowledged, as Moshe Rabbeinu's perhaps natural tendencies were in regards to being a shofel, so there is the demand as well to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely, and that means sometimes bringing about a different element of one's personality, a different element, and in this case perhaps standing in Yam Suf, shiftless took a back seat, and Moshe Rabbeinu's demand, or the demand of Moshe Rabbeinu was, lead the nation, v'yisa'u, move forward, don't stand and rely on a son in that moment, just on the nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to thank people again for joining us. If you can just allow me for 1 second. I forgot the whole reason why we started this in the first place. If we can erase this from the tape. So that's the pshat that the Oznaim LaTorah gave. Again, it's definitely a pshat of the Acharonim. It's not something you've seen the Rishonim. Of why Moshe Rabbeinu's name was not mentioned in Parshas Tetzaveh. If you have a chance, please take a look at those Oznaim LaTorah. I couldn't photocopy it here. It's the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. But he says that when they arranged the Torah, so they had it that the birthday of Moshe Rabbeinu Zayin Adar, and the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, Zayin Adar, it always fall out on the week of Parshas Tetzaveh. And if one thinks about the leaders of other nations, again, obviously, Yeshu comes to mind, so the nation is so much, or the religion is so much built around the personality, that the birthday of the leader becomes the national holiday, the holiday for the entire community. And by Moshe Rabbeinu, specifically, when one would think the Torah would most celebrate, this was his birth, this was his death, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when we've arranged that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. That's a dominant personality of shiftless of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, as we saw, we tried to illustrate that natural tendency had to be mitigated, had to be balanced with other elements as well. And by doing that, Moshe Rabbeinu became a figure of Shleimus, one that we can truly say Moshe Rabbeinu was not Mace. Moshe Rabbeinu's legacy lived on as a model and guide for our own personal development and the balance of our own personalities in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you again, and for your time.